I thought I'd talk to you today on this thought about how to be a son or a daughter of Issachar. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, it says, "From Issachar, men who understood the time and knew what Israel should do," I love this here, and it says, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. And it's listing out some of David's men and his cabinet, who's serving in his world. But I love what it says about these sons of Issachar, that they stood out because they understood the time and the season. And I want you to think about this, because I actually believe God works in time and he works in season. The Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, be instant, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. There's seasons when everything's working and there's seasons when it's just out of season. And we got to be people who understand the time and the seasons. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes 9, it says, I have seen something else under the sun. This is the wisest man in all the world. And he goes, and this is what he says. Now listen to this now, because he was the wisest man, though. You would think he had some favor, and he kind of did, to be honest. But listen to what he says. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor, the Bible says, to the learned. But time and chance happen to us all. Do you know, if we're not careful, we could easily just excuse ourselves and, well, if I had, we had, if I knew what he knew, if I was stronger, if I was smarter, if I went to college, you know, whatever, you know, if, you know, I had that opportunity, I had that connection, I'd be doing better in life. And here is Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, saying, no, no, time and chance happen to us all. We can be the sons of Issachar. It says the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It's not just the strongest that are going to win in life. Nor does food just come to the wise. Or wealth, money, blessing come, the Bible says, to the brilliant. Or favor to the learned. But listen to it. Time and chance happen to us all. Hopefully we've given you a worksheet there, and I want to encourage you to fill out those blanks. The race is not to the swift, battle to the strong, nor food comes to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to us all. Can I tell you, timing is everything. And understanding the time and the seasons are important. So here we are, the first Sunday of a new year. And I'm just thinking about that. Just being here today in church, you're off to a good start, because you've given God the very first Sunday of a new year. You're off to a good start being in God's house. Matter of fact, I was reading some statistics the other day, and I thought I'd share them with you. Have a look at your worksheet there. And there are 5 benefits to attending church regularly. You're off to a good start, but I want to encourage you to make sure, when this timing is everything, that understand that when you give God the first day of the week, which is what Sunday is. Sunday is the first day of the week in a Jewish calendar. And so today's Sunday, and it's the first Sunday of the week, but it's the first Sunday of a year. And so when you attend church regularly, number one, you actually get better sleep, and it's proven. Number two, you have better mental health, specifically less depression and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. Number three, listen to this one, married couples, you have a more stable, happy, and sexually satisfying marriage for those who are married. And that's proven for the Institute of Family Studies. Number four, you actually have a longer life. 26% of people have a lower risk of mortality than non-attending church people. I'm telling you, there's benefits to attending church regularly. And number five, listen to this one. It's proven in 1998, a study was found that regular churchgoers tend, listen to this, to have lower blood pressure than those who were not attending churchgoers. So I got to tell you, last year, our theme was simply this: we're putting God first. That's what we crowned the year with last year. And I want to encourage you, because we're in the 2025, don't stop putting God first. It's so important. And I want to talk to you about how to be a son of Issachar. Let's discern time. Let's value time. The Bible says in Ephesians that we're to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Amen. And so what you do with the first redeems the rest. So for me, I love this scripture in Exodus 13, verse 12. It says, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock will belong to the Lord. Redeem with the lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you don't redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. So here's the principle. What you do with the first redeems the rest. So you're giving God the first day of the week. Matter of fact, Jesus was the firstborn son. Therefore, he was destined to die. I want you to think about this. He was sacrificed, and that's an Old Testament principle. As we just read in Exodus about what you do with the first redeems the rest. It talks about your tithe, and not just your tithe, but all the increase that God brings into your life throughout the course of your year. Think about this, for forgiveness of sins. Think about when we sacrifice in the Old Testament, as we read about, that their sins were forgiven because they gave the firstborn to God. There was atonement and there was forgiveness of sins. And then, of course, right throughout Scripture, the whole principle of first fruits. But now I want you to think about this. I've been doing this for a while. I've been concentrating really intentionally about giving God my first thought before I even get out of bed. And sometimes in the morning, I need to get out of bed, if you know what I mean. But I won't do it until I've spent 10 minutes in a devotional. And this is over and above our 21-day devotional that we're doing right now in our prayer and fasting. It's an app. I'm going to show it to you right now. We're going to put it on the screen. I think we're even going to put it down there in those handout notes so you can see it. It's a Lectio 365. It goes for about 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening. To be honest with you, I tend to just do it in the morning because I'm wanting to give God my very first thought before I start my day, before I get out of bed. I'm listening to a devotional. It's a mellow devotional, but I love it because I want to give God my first thought. Remember, what you do with the first redeems the rest. Imagine giving God your first thought every day. Don't do that and not do our Wave Church 21 days of prayer and fasting. Be committed to those devotionals. And if you had to pick, I'd rather you picked up the Lectio after our 21 days of prayer and fasting, because every day there's a date and there's a scripture that goes with it. So think about that. I try to give God my first thought, and I want to encourage you to give God your first thoughts. So let's go and now look at what I want to talk to you about, how to be a son of Issachar. So number one, here we go. Get ready for this. How to be a son or a daughter of Issachar. Number one, I want you to think about this now, because we're thinking about who they are. They were a discerner of the time and of the season. So here's what I want you to do. Number one, you've got to set tangible, measurable, and achievable goals in 2025. And so in this worksheet, I want you to write down, and I just wrote some headings, and I want you to fill in the blanks. Who are you believing God for this year that could give their life to Jesus? Who are you going to work on? Who are you going to pray for? Who are you going to focus on? Put your faith into this now. A loved one, a family member, somebody you work with that isn't yet a Christian. And then I don't just want you to just think about inviting them or bringing them to church, but seeing them come to faith and then walking them through the discipleship process of helping them get planted in church. I want you to write it this. Write down, who are the people you're believing for in Jesus' name? And then number two, I want you to think about your home. Maybe you're renting, and maybe you're believing God to buy a home in 2025. Maybe you've got a home and you're believing God to do some home improvements. Maybe remodel the kitchen, the bathroom. I want you to write down what it is you're believing God for your physical house in Jesus' name. Maybe it's a garage you want to put, whatever it is. Come on, write down some achievable, tangible, measurable goals in your family. Maybe your kids, that they'll start going to youth and they'll get in a discipleship community group and they'll be believing God to start a high school ministry, a Bible study in that school. What it is you're believing God for your young people, making sure that for them, God's house is a priority. Maybe in the kids program, I love doing this with my grandchildren. I reward them for reading books, particularly the Bible. And when they read through books of the Bible, I'm giving them finances. I'm motivating them to read the Bible. I want you to think about, you know, your family with your kids and your sport and all those activities. And then I want you to write down what you're believing God for in your marriage. How can I invest into my marriage? How can we get in unity? How can we have goals that are together? I want you to write down vacation. What it is, what kind of a vacation do you want to have this year with your spouse or maybe a single person? Where do you want to go? So many people never travel beyond 60 miles of where they live. God created this whole world for you and I to live in. We work too hard not to enjoy the fruit of our labor. Come on, have a vision for your vacation. Have a vision for your finances, your household income. Think about that. Not just that fact that you got a job, but what are you believing God for this year to earn as your salary? What bonuses are you believing God for? What increase in addition to your pay? And then I want you to think about your finances, about not just my income, but first fruits, the first 10% go to God. Then we pay our taxes. And then we learn, as Paul DeYoung taught us, to live on the rest, that 10-10-80 principle. I love that. But before that, it's the tithe. And then it's tax, and then we live off the rest. Amen? But I want you to think about, what are you believing God to give the legacy this year? What are you believing God to set aside for college funds, for your retirement, life insurance? I've talked to too many people whose spouse didn't have life insurance, and I want to encourage you to think about that. Have some goals and in your work. You know, in your job, what are you believing God for in your job? I want you to write it down. You know, have that Daniel spirit where you bring your A game, where you've got an excellent spirit in your work. The Bible says, see a man skilled in his work, he will stand before kings. He will not live in obscurity. Could I encourage you? How can you believe God to be better, a better employee, a better business owner, whatever it is that your work is, a better surgeon, a better teacher? Don't just go for the motions. Get some vision for your life. Be a son of Issachar. And then I want you to think about your health. Believing God, what do you want to see accomplished in this year? Maybe there's a certain challenge of health that you're facing and you're on medication because of it. And maybe if you just got a little bit more discipline in your diet and your exercise, you might see yourself free of that medication or the need of it because you really worked on your health and get healthier in Jesus' name. I want you to think about that. I want you to make your social life. Where and who do I spend my spare time with? So I want to encourage you. This is a big thought I'm giving you. Number one, the Bible says, listen to this now. I want you to think about this. Write down a vision. Make it plain. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want you to set in 2025 some tangible, measurable, quantifiable, definitive, and might I add, achievable goals that you can accomplish this year. It just requires time management, it requires discipline, and it requires vision. You can do it. Come on, write it down in Jesus' name. Number two, if we're going to be a son of Issachar, then I believe we've got to write out not just some tangible goals, but we got to write out what is non-negotiable. Do you know, sometimes people say to me, well, if someone ever gave $1 million, I'd give God a tithe. Well, if someone gave you $10, do you give them a dollar? And if you can't be faithful in the little, you're not ready for the rest in life. Someone's believing God to get married, and you're just thinking, when I get married, I'll be a good husband or I'll be a good wife. Can I tell you? Work on you now. So you got to figure out what's non-negotiable. For a young person, what should be non-negotiable is that your future partner should love God as much as you do. Because the Bible says, come on, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What should be non-negotiable is a first fruit, is your tithe. What should be first non-negotiable is that God's will be done in your life. I love this scripture, Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule your heart. And I want you to talk about, I want to talk about this for a minute, because how do we know what the will of God is? Some people say, I just want to do God's will. Well, how do you know what the will of God is? Well, the Bible says the peace of God can rule your heart. That word rule literally means umpire. In other words, you'll only hear from an umpire if you're on the field playing the game. The umpire is not worried about who's sitting up in the grandstand. He's only concentrating. He's not even interested in the people on the sidelines. He's only interested on who's on the field playing the game. And if anybody does something that is out of the rules, then the umpire is going to blow the whistle. So this is what the Bible says. Let the peace of God rule your heart. You'll never hear from the umpire, that is God, unless you're on the field and you're playing the game. And if you are on the field playing the game, making decisions, living life, being busy, and you make a decision that is outside the will of God, the umpire is going to blow the whistle. That was out of bounds. That was, you know, blocking the tackle. That was a false start. You're not hearing from the umpire unless you're on the field. So you'll never know the will of God unless you're doing something. You've got to be involved. The Bible says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts to be established. It's not until you start doing something that you actually have established thinking. So don't be just sitting around waiting for God to reveal his will. Do something. Get involved in the kingdom. Get involved in church. Serve on a team. Get in a community group. Teach a community group. Serve on the worship team. Get in the ushering team. Get involved in kids ministry. And as you do that, then the Bible says the peace of God will rule your heart. You'll know what God's will is, because if you've made a bad decision, you'll lose your peace. The umpire is blowing the whistle. Well, now you know. But you wouldn't have known unless you're on the field doing God's will. Amen? So that's how I know God's will. And for me, my non-negotiables are God is first. My non-negotiable is God's word will always be the sole basis for any important decision in my life. Not only is God first, not only is God's word the highest priority, the sole basis for major decisions, and might I add minor decisions as well, but church for me is a non-negotiable. That's always been my life. It was before I was ever a pastor. I was going to always be somebody who was, the Bible says, neglect not the gathering together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. That's a non-negotiable, not just for me, but for my family. And then what's non-negotiable is my family. I'm not willing to sacrifice my family if I'm a businessman to go after success. If it means I lose my family, I'm taking my family with me. Friends are a non-negotiable, but making sure I've got the right friends and the right influence. Look at Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And we're constantly asking God, watch this, to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Did you know it's possible to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God? Paul's praying it through spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may live a life, now he tells you the will of God, that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way. Underline these words, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. It is the will of God for you to bear fruit in every good work. You've got your non-negotiables, but now let's talk about what are the areas that are good works that God has in common for all of us. And I wrote them down. I thought about in my life and in your life, a good work is your job. Amen? That's a good work. Number two, it's family. Number three, it's finances. Number four, it's church. Number five, I wrote down mental health, especially in today's world. And number six, physical health. That's a good work. Number seven, a social life. That's a good work. God wants you to enjoy the world. He said, you know, occupy till I come. He said to Adam and Eve, you know, be fruitful and multiply. Take dominion over all that I've created. I've given it to you. And then I think a good work is our spiritual life. In other words, our commitment to the Word of God and to prayer. So I want you to right now, I'm going to help you find the will of God. I want you to rate from 1 to 5 those works I just gave you. They're all good works that we all have in common. And if you're really poor at something, let's just take this one right now, maybe work life. And I don't just mean you have a job. I mean, poor means you're not really, you know, you get to work late. You're always trying to leave early. You're always trying to take more of a break than you should. You're really not putting in the effort and the energy and the attention. You're a bit of a slack employee. Well, that's a one. But if you're really good at that and you're really bringing your A game, you got that Daniel spirit, then give yourself a 5. In other words, don't just use the numbers 2 and 3 and 4. Be honest about something. Really evaluate yourself right now. 1 is very poor, 4 is very high. Rate all those things from work, family, finances, church, mental health, physical health, spirit, social life, and spiritual life, and give yourself a rating. Come on, from 1 to 5. Shouldn't take more than 20 seconds to fill that out. I want you to look at those things that are 4s and 5s, and just for a moment, just go, that feels good. Maybe for me right now, I can honestly put, when it comes to my physical health, I could give myself a 4. I could be bordering on a 5 right now. I'm really happy with my discipline and my routine to fitness and to health in Jesus' name. And so, you know, I want you to think about what your finances and not just the fact that you're getting a salary, but are you managing? Are you living to a budget? Are you living to your goals? And how do you manage that? And I want you to give, I mean, if you're not tithing, just give yourself a 1 right there. Just get that going in Jesus' name. But if you're spending more than you're earning, give yourself a 1. And tithing won't get you out of that kind of trouble either. We need wisdom in Jesus' name. If you're putting aside money, if you've got young people, kids, and you're putting money aside toward their college, you're putting money aside toward your retirement, give yourself a 5. That's a good thing to do. And then look at all the 1s and 2s. You just found the Word of God. Work on those things without sacrificing the other things. So maybe you've got a really good 5 on your work and you got 1 at church because you only go to church once every 6 weeks. Then you need to bring church attendance up without sacrificing, because the Bible says you got to bear fruit in every good work. I want you to give yourself a list of that. Look at those 1s and 2s and don't just bring the 5 down to a 2 to get a 1 up to a 5. You got to bear fruit in everything. The Bible says, and you can do it all at the same time. It's called balancing your life and giving attention to those things that need to be improved. And number 3, I want to encourage you how to be a son of Issachar. Are you ready for this? This one's big. You've got to live with faith and vision. Proverbs 29, you knew this scripture was coming. Verse 18, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Blessed is he who heeds wisdom and instruction. There is a blessing in listening to what I'm telling you right now. If you will wear the restraint of your vision, and you will be somebody who is going to put vision in your life, and you work on that list I just gave you, the Bible says, without a vision, people cast off restraint. People perish, in other words. And then in Habakkuk, it says, then the Lord replied, write down the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. And I want to encourage you to read on in those verses. And it says, though it tarry, wait for it. It speaks to the end. It will not lie. I love when it talks about that, you know, God wants us all to have a written down vision. You just found the will of God with those ones and twos. You know what your non-negotiables are. You're a son and you're a daughter of Issachar. Your life will get bigger and it will get larger and it will get better if you take a hold of this wisdom. Write down your vision. Make it plain. The Bible says, so he that runs, that the herald may run with it. I love that. There's got to be something you can do today that's going to get you toward your vision. It's baby steps. It says it speaks to the ends and to the end. And I want you to think about this. Without it, we all perish. So you've got to start with the end in mind. You've got to start this year with where you want to finish up at the end of 2025. Here's how I live. I live with this principle of faith. Always only faith. I don't entertain negative thoughts. When they come, I'm quick to renew my mind. I am living by faith. I love this thought that faith is voice activated. Faith speaks. Faith calls things into being that are not as though they are. It does not call things that are as though they are not. And I want to encourage you to go into 2025 with a spirit of faith and understand that we are people that we create the world we live in with the words we think. I love it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So come on, let's have some faith for 2025. I want to encourage you. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is so essential to faith. There cannot be faith without hope, but there can be hope without faith. Hope is the origin. It's the seabed of faith. And I want to encourage you to go. Don't be thinking about what you did or didn't do last year. This is a new year. You're a son of Issachar in the name of Jesus. I live with this thought. Faith doesn't doubt. And I want to encourage you. In James chapter 1, it says, let you ask God and he'll give you what you ask for. And you believe that you will receive and it will be yours. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So come on, 2025, can I motivate you? Can I encourage you? Can I inspire you to get beyond just a good thought of a New Year's resolution? But can I encourage you to go into 2025 to become a son of Issachar, to go into 2025 with your non-negotiables, go into 25 with your goals and your dreams and your vision and your values, and be a person of faith.